Okay, so hopefully those of you who are regular here at least recall that last year, our verse for the year, our focus was your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. And, you know, so we were, you know, really trying to get to grips with the Bible in particular. And although, obviously, God's word also, in some ways, more applies to Jesus. So that was that. As you already know, if you've looked at the cards or whatever, so it doesn't really need a drum roll. Verse for this year is taken from the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, what we're going to do is each member of the leadership team is just going to, you know, share a few thoughts or reflections about why we felt this would be an appropriate emphasis for us this year.
Well, I was just thinking about trying to think about this verse, firstly as a whole, and yeah, and thinking that actually. I was meditating. Well, I was also meditating on one part of it, which I'll come to. But as a whole, these were the Jewish people who had just completed the temple, Solomon's temple, and actually they were in quite a good place. And it says in our verse that it's conditional. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then is the promise, I will hear, forgive, and heal. But they were actually in a good place because they had been praising and, you know, trumpets and singing and dancing and all of this sort of thing, praising the Lord and having a really wonderful relationship with the Lord, praising him for the temple. But God knew their hearts, and that's what I was thinking, really. He knew that they would actually turn against him because our hearts are sinful. And he says, it's going to happen. And bad things are going to happen, and you're going to turn away. But if my people, that's the Jewish people, and us, because we're the Jewish, we're part of God's people, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear, forgive, and heal our land. And our hearts need healing and forgiving, and our land needs healing and forgiving, and our world needs healing and forgiving. But one thing that God really sort of pointed me to, and I've been thinking about a bit, is this bit that says humble ourselves. And I was thinking, what does that really mean for us to humble ourselves? I think it does mean that we should need to accept that we're sinful beings and God is our creator and we need to bow before him. But I was reminded of Mary, and we've been thinking about her over Christmas. How the angel came to her and said, this is going to happen. You're going to have a child. She said, what? She didn't understand. She didn't understand. She said, this is not possible. And sometimes we can say that to God, this is not possible, as we look to the future. But she questioned, how? And then the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the Most High will overshadow you. I wonder if she really understood after that how it was going to happen. She probably didn't. But what was her response? She said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your will. And she submitted herself. And I think in a way that's what it means to humble ourselves. Well, for me, I've just been thinking about that. To realize that we don't understand, we don't know what the future is. We don't know how this year is going to pan out. But he wants us to say, okay, God, we don't understand everything. It's not a blind faith, and it's not an inactive faith, certainly not by any means, but it's saying, I am here, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word, and we will follow you. And when we think about it being in a more active sense, we need to take the Bible as a whole, and I'm thinking of that verse in Micah, which we know very well. He has shown you people, O people, what is good, And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So he asks us to walk humbly with him, but not to be inactive. So those were just my thoughts about the verse.
My thoughts that I was going to share today were just very, very brief and a little bit, maybe a bit of a different way of looking at this passage. I was looking at it this morning and was thinking about the way I might personally kind of use this as a structure for some prayer. So when I first read it, I thought, you know, I agree with everything in it, but in some ways I'm struggling to identify with it as on a personal level because it's in the third person, it's talking about historical time, historical people. And I was like, well, what about if I just turned it all around and I said, put it in the first person really and prayed it personally and I said something like, you know, Father God, I, your child, you know, we are God's people, but I, your child, called by your name, if help me to humble myself, help me to pray and to seek your face, help me to turn from my wicked ways, help me trust your promise that I will hear from heaven. That you will hear from heaven and that you will forgive me my sins and that you will heal our lands. So I've been finding that quite helpful. And another small thing, I get tripped up by the word wicked. I was tripped up by it when I was about 7 and I moved to Nottingham and I'd never heard it used as an urban slang for cool before. I came from London and nobody had used it there and somebody told me at school that my drawing was wicked and I took great offence and started crying. And then it turned out they were trying to make friends with me and it actually meant that it was really cool. And then it's not really a word we use very often in like kind of the modern day outside of a church setting. And so it just sort of always sticks out a little bit too much for me. So I've been playing around with different words in my prayers around this passage. So using the word broken or selfish instead, which are certainly things that I kind of can feel, you know, truly reflect sometimes the behaviours that I don't want in myself as much. So, I hope those short thoughts were helpful.
Morning, everyone. Right, up until about 6 o'clock this morning, I had no idea what I was going to say. And it still may change. When this verse was suggested, I thought, that's a great verse. Previous churches have been out, this verse has been used as well, actually, and there's so much in it. So I thought that, you know, when you get up to speak about it, there's so much there, it won't be a problem. I was wrong. My approach every time when I'm going to speak in church is the same. And that is, Lord, what do you want me to say? And how do you want me to say it? So I started, and sometimes I just overthink these things. That's just, and analyse things. So I went back to the beginning of Chronicles. It's 2 Chronicles. And started reading through it, and we'll know it's about the consecration of the temple. So is that what you want me to talk about? And I have a parallel with where we are today as a church. And the fact that thousands of animals were sacrificed, and since Jesus' death, we no longer need to sacrifice animals. And I just kept getting into a dead end. And I'd got this picture in my mind of like a car going into a cul-de-sac, coming out again. And I couldn't think of what Jesus, do you want me to say? So I then thought, well, I believe that every verse in the Bible has something for us. And also you can break that verse down. So if my people, do you want to speak me to speak about my people? Called by my name. And we're called by his name. We're Christians. So Christ, we're called by his name. We'll humble themselves. I was thinking the same as you, Rosemary, about Micah chapter 6, verse 8, which you've said about, and speaking about humbling and pray. And we all need to pray more. I need to pray more. And seek my face. What does it mean to seek my face? To seek Jesus' face? To seek God's face? What does it mean? And I sense it means to get closer, to have a more intimate relationship with Jesus. Helen and I, we pray in the morning and we pray in the evening. But if you're not careful, this routine becomes just that, a routine. And there's no real intimacy. We're going through the motions sometimes. Maybe you don't. But I know that I do. So seeking my face, I kept getting drawn back to that. And then I believe that God spoke to me. And it's for me, this. I don't know if it's for anybody else here. So, you know, if I'm being selfish, I apologize. Sometimes these things are for corporate and sometimes they're for personal things. And some of you know that 2024 for me has been a really difficult year. I've been full of fear, self-doubt, worry. And, just not looking forward to the next day, really. And I just sense Jesus saying, "You've taken your eyes off me." And I was then taken to that passage in the Gospels where Peter gets out of the boat in the storm, and as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus, he starts to sink. And I just sensed that Jesus is saying that to me. You need to put your eyes back towards me. Look at me. Turn. There's a song, isn't there? Is it "Turn Your Eyes Towards Jesus"? Look full in his wonderful face, and the cares of this world will seem strangely dim as we, I'm not sure what the next word is, but it's about his glory and grace. So this, today, this verse is very powerful for me. So my desire for this year, day by day, is to fix my eyes on Jesus, to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, and to ride through the storms. I was so bad, I was imagining storms before they got there, to be fair. So worrying about things. So I hope you don't mind me sharing this with you. And that's where I am.
I think it's great that we've had a verse which is all about taking God's word seriously last year, and this year it's a word about praying seriously this year. That's really good. And as you know, at the end of last year, we did the walk through the Bible thing. And one of the things that sort of that came to me after that is I was looking at Samson, not Samson, crumbs, it's the wrong one, Solomon. King Solomon, and was really interested as to why Solomon, despite having everything going for him, his reign ended in failure, and the follow-up to his reign was failure. And if you were at the last church meeting, or if you read what I said for the end of the year, you'll see my reflections there, where they got to in terms of thinking that actually Solomon, and at this time in particular that this verse was written, was a time where the Israelite nation had so much going for them, and they had a leader who had God given wisdom, and yet it failed within a very short space of time. But I don't really. I was thinking about this, and I don't really want to sort of reflect on that too much this morning. I want to kind of put that to one side, because the danger of thinking about Solomon is we reflect too much on the fact that Solomon failed because he allowed worship of other gods and various other things that went wrong, and we can put our thought in the fact that it was unfortunately a leader who made a mistake. And that is not the reflection on this verse here, actually. What this verse is talking about, my people. It's not talking about an individual. It's talking about my people. As it happens, God does later in this same chapter talk to Solomon as well. But this is about my people. This is talking to us. It's talking to God's people. God's people here in Ruddington. And it's the sense of each person has a responsibility. You, me, all of us have a responsibility in our personal life and in our corporate life to take this verse really seriously, to apply it to ourselves. Actually, I was reflecting how quite a bit earlier on there was a time where there was a battle that was lost, and it turned out that it was one of the people who'd done something wrong, and that affected the whole nation. And it's something true within that, that actually we are only as strong as the weakest within us. We all have a responsibility in 2025 to commit ourselves to do this, to walk humbly, to pray, to seek God's face. So that was one part of it that really struck me. It's not about leaders. Yes, 2025 will be about finding a new minister for this church. Please don't wait until the new minister comes to start applying this to us, because actually it's for 2025, January the 5th, today. And it's from now on and ongoing. The other thing that struck me about this passage was... It comes sandwiched between two promises from God. I was never quite sure whether God was a fan of the temple or not, because why would he want to be sort of nailed down to a particular physical building? But actually what he says to Solomon and the people is, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself. Isn't that amazing? They built this building and God says, I have heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to your prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. I'd like to turn that back to Ruddington, those same verses, because I believe these verses actually apply to us too. So this is my prayer for 2025 for Ruddington Baptist Church, that God says, I've heard your prayer and I have chosen Ruddington for myself. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayers of Ruddington Baptist Church offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated Ruddington so that my name will be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Amen.
So in a moment, I'll make a little bit of space if anyone wants to, you know, come and share their own reflections briefly. I think the one thing I'll add is one of the things that really struck me in this verse is the very last bit about how the response of God's people leads ultimately to the healing, not just of the people, but of the land. And I think it was helpful when Andrew was speaking towards the end of the last year, he reminded us that, you know, there's God's whole mission for the whole of the world, the whole of creation. Within that, there's this specific mission for the church, and then within that, you know, we've got our own particular roles to play. If you happen to follow the Centre for Contemplation and Action emails, you'll know that their theme for this year is salt and light. You're talking about how Christians are called to be, you know, to have that transforming role in society and the world. And for me, there's something of that in there, that as we... as just a small minority of this country, respond to God in prayer, that somehow through that, it's not just our idolatry and rebellion that's being addressed. It's not just the consequences of our failure that are at stake. But that somehow God has extended that promise that his people can be salt, that we can be light, that we can have a transforming influence on society, on all of those around us. And I hope that that's something that we'll hold on to and we'll increasingly realise this year. Anyone else like to add their thoughts? I know you've had obviously less time to reflect on it than we have. But...
who remembers when we've done our 24/7 prayer weekends and things before? Have you found them helpful? I just keep getting that feeling that we should do that again. It will take time and effort. And I'd love all the young people to be involved doing it, because it's just been so brilliant. You have time to reflect, to do arty things, to return the whole hub into a space when we can sign up for an hour or so to go and just be there. And it doesn't sound much, but actually in our busy lives, if we put aside even 1 hour or a whole afternoon, or we've gone through the night before, it's really exciting. You just get time to be on your own and with God. And God said some amazing things. If you've seen some of the pictures and artwork that came out of it, it was brilliant. So let's do it. Maybe someone come and talk to me if you're feeling inspired to do it with me.
Yeah, just mine was just quite brief, really, and thinking about humbling yourself and praying and seeking his face. And I was turned towards Proverbs 3, the whole of Proverbs 3, and the instructions in that, and I thought that's quite helpful. In particular, you know, I'll love the Lord my God with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. And I think for me, that's what it means to humble myself.
Just riffing off something that Mark said, actually. He encouraged us not to focus on leader, Solomon in this particular case, and Solomon's failures to address what was going wrong in the nation. I'm not disagreeing with Mark at all, but it's interesting. It got me thinking about leader and nation, or leader and people. And I've been thinking a lot about the big elections that there were last year in 2024. It was the year of election, when over 1 billion people voted across the globe for new leaders. And in a democratic situation, we elect leaders that reflect what we want in some way. And like many people, I've kind of looked across the pond and thought, what? And in a way, the person that has been elected to lead the United States reflects some of the values of that country. Mark rightly encourages us to start now in terms of applying this verse to ourselves, but to connect it up with leadership, which is one of the things that that will be a significant part of RBC's life. In this coming year, perhaps one measure and one filter that we could use is, to what extent is their heart in line with this verse? I.e. that they are humble people and prayerful people who know themselves and their own faults and failures, and are for the healing of the land and of the nation. So it does connect in some way, in that it's somebody who has a heart for this, somebody who's on their knees a lot.
It's just really thinking, if my people, and to me that's right from baby Emma to whoever the oldest of us is, we're all in this. It's not the people who are on the leadership team, or the ones who seem a bit keen, or do you know what I mean? Or the ones who've been a Christian for a long time. It's everybody. And I really, really love working with the children, and they've got so much passion and faith, and I'd love all the children to know that that's really important to us, and we need to listen to you, so don't be shy. Share with us what you're going through. It's great.
Good. Well, thank you for those, and obviously we'll keep coming back to it in the year. I'll say more about the new sermon series for this quarter next week, and I'll introduce it then. Although, as Phil said, there will be this, we're going to use Psalms to explore prayer, is essentially what we're going to do this term.